Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, if you need one of our lesson guides, if you'll raise your hand, somebody will bring it to you. If you need this yellow lesson guide. And then I want to ask you to take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to talk about Enoch. Now, I'm not going to give you the quiz tonight. I always go through all these. I want you to see if you can fill these out. These are all the different qualities or principles that we have gleaned in our series, the message from David, Paul, and I've given you some blanks there. I want you to see if you can fill it out, and if you want to check it later, we can do that. But tonight, I want us to think about the life of Enoch. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him." Evidently, they went looking for Enoch. If somebody just disappeared, you'd go looking for him. And so he could not be found because God had taken him. "For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, I want you to go all the way to the book of Revelation to the right, which won't be very far. And then the book right before Revelation is the book of Jude. And you have 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, then Jude, and Revelation. And Jude, it's a one-chapter book, verses 14 and 15. Says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now let's go back to our passage in Genesis. Genesis chapter 5, and I've got to keep going to get there. And verse 21, Genesis 5:21. "Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah." We're going to talk a little bit about Methuselah tonight. "After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. I love this verse, verse 24. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." This man Enoch was an interesting person. Enoch, number one, walked with God. That's the first blank. He walked with God. Now, he started walking with God when he was 65. 65 years of age, he began to walk with God. And he had a son named Methuselah. And after Methuselah was born, the Bible teaches that that's when he began to walk with God. You know, it's interesting. There are a couple of places in life when people sometimes get serious about walking with God. One of them is when they get married. Now, we ought to all be serious about walking with the Lord. I mean, our young people ought to be serious about it. We ought to all be serious about it. But it seems like when a couple gets married, all of a sudden they realize, you know what, we're committed, we're going to settle in here, and let's start some patterns that we need to keep. And so sometimes when a couple gets married, they begin to walk with God, or they begin their spiritual growth. The other time is the birth of their first child. And it seems like with Enoch, Enoch was 65. And all of a sudden, Methuselah. Well, if you had a Methuselah, you'd walk with God too, wouldn't you? Methuselah came along. And so here's Methuselah. getting all the attention, keeping them up at night, and all of a sudden the Bible says that Enoch began to walk with God. Now, the word Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent. Now, here's the thing. When you couple what we know about him beginning to walk with God when Methuselah was born, and then you couple it with the Jude passage tells us that Enoch cried out against his culture, and he knew God was going to send judgment upon the people. It's like the Lord whispered in his ear and said, if these people don't get right, I'm going to send judgment. And later, the flood came. And so it did happen eventually, but he said to him, I'm not going to send it until Methuselah dies, your son dies. Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent. Methuselah's name was a reminder that God's judgment was going to come upon the people if they did not repent. And so here he is walking with God. He started at 65 after Methuselah was born. Now, when we think about that culture that he was living in, and we think about the circumstances of his life, we think about the culture of his day, we know that it was a wicked time. Here's Enoch being told by God that I'm going to send judgment. It must have been a wicked time. We know that. But yet the fact that Methuselah lived longer than any other man, 969 years, Methuselah lived. What does that tell us? You know, it tells us that God is a merciful God. If God said to Enoch, until your son dies, when your son dies is when the judgment is going to come, the fact that he lived longer than any other person is a sign of God's mercy. Don't you ever wonder why God doesn't make things right now? I think about the wickedness of our world and the people that sneer at God and at God's law. And you know, we could go on about it. Just read the paper. Just get the paper every once in a while and open it up and read about the way we have rejected God's law about marriage. We have rejected God's law about life. And we sneer at God in the way we live in this culture. And sometimes you sit back and you think, boy, God, just get them. God, just get them. And yet, why doesn't he get them? We're in an age similar to what Enoch lived in. Enoch lived in a wicked age, and he knew that God was on the throne. He knew that God was going to bring judgment, just like we know God's going to bring judgment. And yet, there's a side of God's mercy that is so patient. And this is what we see in this passage. We see Methuselah living so long. And ultimately that judgment did come. And ultimately it will come here. God's judgment will come. So rather than, and don't get me wrong, we take our stand on God's word. We do not back up from God's word. We live according to God's word uncompromisingly. But we also know that the world out here that doesn't understand God's ways and they reject God's ways and they rebel against God's ways, we know that God loves them and is merciful towards them, and we want them to know the gospel. So how do we do that? We share God's word with them. God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. You say, well, I don't know if it's getting through. I have a coworker I'm trying to talk to about Jesus. I have someone in my office I'm trying to tell. I have a student, a friend of mine in my class that I'm trying to tell about Jesus. But they don't seem like they're listening. You just share the word with them. You just share God's law with them, God's word, the word of God with them about God's love and God's law and God's ways. Because the Bible teaches that God's word is like a sword. Listen, you will use that sword, and it'll be two or three days, they'll realize they've been cut. God's word is living and active and sharper. And so Enoch lived in a wicked time. Number two, Well, let me go back and look at this. Genesis 6, 5. I forgot to turn there for you. Look at Genesis 6, verse 5. We see a little bit about this. It said, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And then over in 2 Peter, if you want to turn there, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. I just wanted to call our attention to these scriptures. In 2 Peter 2, verse 5, the scripture says this, "And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." God's judgment is sure, and yet we see in the circumstances of these three passages of Scripture that revolve around Enoch's life, we see his compassion for the culture and his compassion for people. Number two, Enoch chose his walk. From everything we know about these passages of Scripture, it does not appear that Enoch had any pressure, that he had to walk with God. He chose to walk with God. The Lord, when Methuselah came, and then the Lord whispered in his heart about what was going to be happening, all of these things were part of it, but it appears that Enoch chose his walk, and he was consistent. I think 300 years would be chalked up pretty good as a consistent life walking with God. We have no record that there was a time he wasn't walking with God after he began walking with God. And so for 300 years he did that. He was very, very consistent. We know he had a deep relationship with God because God shared with him about judgment coming. Enoch was the one who had that information. And so we know that he and the Lord were friends. He was a friend of God. You know, when you walk with the Lord, you can have that kind of relationship with him. And Enoch had that kind of relationship. He walked with God for three centuries. Number three, Enoch, really this is number three on the sheet, but it's the second main point. First main point, Enoch walked with God. Second main point, Enoch, and this is amazing, pleased God. Can you imagine having your testimony be that you pleased God? In our passage in Hebrews, we see in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 5, that same passage that we read says this, "By faith Enoch was taken away so he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now, I'm always intrigued when I think about the life of Enoch. I'm thinking about one day he's walking along. As a matter of fact, I always heard the preachers, when they preached on Enoch, they would say, "And the Lord in the afternoons would come, and Enoch and God would walk together down the path, and they would have deep fellowship, and at the end of most days, the Lord would say, 'Okay, Enoch, I'll see you,' and Enoch would turn around and go back." And as the preachers used to say it, they said one day Enoch was walking with God, and they walked on, and they walked on, and the Lord said, "Enoch, I think we're a little closer to my place right now. Why don't you just keep on and let's go to my place?" And Enoch was gone. You know, and so I'm intrigued by that. And of course, Elijah was taken up that way. Wouldn't it be something to be taken up? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Be something to be taken up. Enoch was taken up, but you know what the real miracle of this is? Not necessarily that he was taken up. The miracle is that he pleased God. That's really more significant when you really think about it than the fact that he was taken up. Enoch pleased God. This is the miracle. He sought the Lord. And if you look at verse 6, it says this in Hebrews 11:6, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So how do you please God? You have a life of faith. You live a life of faith in our Lord. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, now here's how you have faith and how you please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is. Now the emphasis is not believe that God exists. That's not the emphasis there in that passage. It's not that Enoch just said, yes, I believe I'm a deist, or I believe that God exists. No, the emphasis is that he must believe that he is. That's the emphasis in the text of the Bible there. It says in verse 6, he who comes to God must believe that he is. Who is? The Lord God, the true God, Jehovah is. So this is not just saying, yes, in order to please God, I just have to believe there's a God. No, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is God, that the God of the Bible is the only true God. That's the beginning point. And then it says that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What a testimony. He believed that if I just live for God and do right, the Lord will reward and the Lord will bless. And I tell you, that's a great principle. Because let's face it, sometimes there are tough times. You ever go through tough times? You have tough times? They say you're either coming into tough times, you're in tough times now, or you just left tough times. Tough times happen in people's lives. And just because we know Jesus, let's get this clear tonight, just because we're Christians doesn't mean we are exempt from tough times. I saw one head nod. I didn't hear any amens to that. But that's true, isn't it? Amen? Hey, we're not exempt from tough times. But here's the question. Are you going to hold on to God? Are you going to have faith and diligently seek him and know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? This is what Enoch did. And the Bible says Enoch pleased God. Powerful. So this is the miracle. Now, if you look at John chapter 8 and verse 29, take your Bibles and look over at the book of John chapter 8 and verse 29. These are the words of Jesus. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus wanted to please the Father. We should want to please the Lord. Matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul admonishes us to do that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1 says this, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God." Sometimes we make the Christian life complicated. Can we just settle in on this, that if we please God, I think we've done okay. Can we just live every day of our life, Lord, I want to please you. I want you to be happy with the way I'm living. This was Enoch's testimony. This was the testimony of Jesus Christ. This was the admonition of the Apostle Paul. He says you ought to walk in a way to please God. So this is what Enoch did. He pleased the Lord. Enoch, number four, was a witness for God because God had given him that message that judgment was coming. And so, by implication of that message, Enoch was the one who was giving that message out. Enoch was a witness for God. And then number five, as we finish tonight, Enoch was taken up. It's like the preacher said, the Lord said, Enoch, we're closer to my place, you just come on. In other words, he was there and then he wasn't there. He was just taken up. Now this is an illustration of what is known in the Bible as the rapture. I want you to look, stay there in 1 Thessalonians if you're still in chapter 4. of 1 Thessalonians. And in verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says this, "Then we who are alive and remain," talking about those that have not died in the faith, but they're alive at the coming of the Lord, "shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." So Enoch got an early picture of what the rapture would be like. Can you imagine if we all went tonight, assuming we all know Jesus, we all have Christ in our life, and the Lord came back right now? By the way, how many of you believe that the Lord will come back in the next 30 seconds? He's going to come back in the next 30 seconds. Raise your hand. I don't see one hand. The Bible says this, "In the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh." He could. But let's say he did come. Wonder what would happen. These lights are still on. How long would it take for somebody realize we're all gone? They said in one of our passages that they couldn't find him. Where's Enoch? He's been gone. He didn't come home tonight. Where's Enoch at? And I suppose they never really got an explanation. I don't know how that would be, but this is kind of an early picture of what the rapture would be like. Can you imagine? All of a sudden you're there and boom, and the Bible says it's in the twinkling of an eye. I heard someone said that Bell Telephone, I don't even think there is a Bell Telephone anymore company, went to AT&T and then it went. Yeah, that's how old the story is, okay? Sorry about that. But when I was a kid, my pastor used to say this, and I've never forgotten it because it was so gripping to me. He said, "Bell Telephone has measured that a twinkling of an eye is 1/10,000th of a second." You ever seen a twinkle in a child's eye? 1/10,000th of a second. That's how fast the Lord's going to come. In the twinkling of an eye, the Son of Man will come. And guess what? In 1/10,000th of a second, you don't have time to decide to give your life to Jesus. You better do it now. Y'all remember Eddie Martin, the evangelist Eddie Martin? Eddie Martin used to preach in the 70s and he wore a white suit. I see some heads shaking. And he wore white patent leather shoes. I mean, this guy, and he would be preaching, and he came to North Central one time, and he told me this. He said, "Calvin, the greatest message to get people to know Jesus is the basic gospel message, the Romans road to salvation." He said, "The second greatest truth that I know to encourage people to give their life to Jesus is the second coming of Christ." Because I'm telling you, when you know that the coming of the Lord is imminent, it could happen at any moment, and you know that it's 1/10,000th of a second, and it could be at this moment. By the way, it could literally be in the next few minutes because none of y'all believed he was coming. So we qualify tonight because the Bible says, "In the hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes." Great truth. And so here we see that he was taken up. Now here's some quick lessons for us. First of all, for us to please the Lord, you've got to be on the right road. You've got to know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Let me say this. If you're going to please the Lord, not only do you need to know Jesus, but are you walking daily with Jesus Christ? I meet too many Christians, and I find myself in this case as well, times when I know that I've been saved, I know I have Jesus in my life, but I don't know that Jesus is all that pleased with everything I'm doing. Are we pleasing the Lord? And then the second lesson is you can walk with God regardless of age. Some people say, "Well, you know what? I didn't meet the Lord." You know, most folks meet the Lord when they're young, but not everyone. And regardless of your age, you can walk with the Lord. Now, in the book of Genesis, it goes through all this lineage, all the people that were born. It goes, talks about Abraham, talks about Isaac, and for every one of them it says, "And they died." And they died. Every day in the Gainesville Sun, there's somebody's obituary in there. "And they died." It's one thing we all have in common. We're going to die. It didn't say that about Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. So, down at the very bottom, that long blank down there, here's what I'd put in there. Live to please God. I believe if Enoch could say that, could be right here and say to us one thing, he would say, live to please Almighty God. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer tonight. Our musicians are going to come and they're going to lead us in our song of invitation. If there's anybody here that would say, Pastor, I just need someone to pray with me, then I want to encourage you to come while we're singing. If there's anybody that would say, I need to know what it means to have Jesus in my life, then you come. If there's any spiritual commitment, you say, Pastor, what could a spiritual commitment be in a service like this? Well, it may be to meet Jesus personally. It may be to make that decision public. There are people that have been saved, but they've never been baptized. They've never made it public. The first act of obedience to following Jesus Christ is to be baptized. So if you need to be baptized, you can come and say, I'd like to be baptized, and we'll make arrangements for you to be baptized. Another decision may be someone needs to unite with this church. They have not united with this church, and God is leading them to do that. Then you can come. There may be some other decision for prayer. Several weeks back, we had a young man come and say, God's called me into ministry. So that could be a spiritual commitment. But if God is speaking to you about a commitment, I want you to make that commitment tonight. Let's pray.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.